Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, first of all, tell us about your Super Bowl experience. And then, more importantly, can the Browns learn anything from this Super Bowl?
I loved the game. It was one of the better Super Bowls in recent memory that I've watched. I have to give Doug Peterson some credit. He has some serious stones to go for it on fourth down at the end of the half, and then late in the fourth quarter that ended up resulting in them being able to seal that football game. So as far as what you learn, well, anything's possible. A lot of people in Philadelphia didn't think that they'd see the day when the Philadelphia Eagles would be bringing home a Vince Lombardi trophy, and especially after Carson Wentz went down late in the season and Nick Foles had to take over. I don't think anyone envisioned him being a Super Bowl MVP. So I think what you take away from that game is that anything is possible, and that's why we love the game. That's why they play the game. And like I said, that was one of the more fun Super Bowls I have watched in recent memory.
Daryl, when you have a talented team and things work, it's amazing the credit that goes to everybody involved. Because think about it. If you're fourth and goal in the Super Bowl from the one,
yep,
and your quarterback moves up behind your, what, right guard or right tackle, and you direct snap to the running back who pitches to the tight end coming around who throws to the quarterback, if that doesn't work, oh my goodness.
Doug Peterson's the biggest stooge in NFL history.
It's like, what was that guy thinking? Instead, it's one of the greatest calls in Super Bowl history.
Absolutely, and that's why I said, I mean, he's got some stones to not only call the play or not only go for it on fourth and goal, because listen, 31 other NFL coaches kick the field goal there, take their 3 points, and they're happy to go into the locker room up 18-12. Not Doug Peterson. He went for it, dipped into the bag of tricks, and it worked. And even, listen, what was it, 4.5, 5 minutes to go in the game, they had a fourth and one or two in their own territory, but near midfield, and he went for it. They picked it up, converted it, and ended up turning that into a scoring drive as well. I mean, again, 31 other coaches at that point in the game punt the football and try and pin the Patriots deep and hope they can get a stop, get the ball back with enough time to win the game with the final possession. But you're absolutely right, Jeff. I mean, Doug Peterson today is a genius of a coach, gutsy coach, because not only did he make those calls, but his team executed them. They worked, and they led to them winning the Super Bowl. But had they not, we're sitting here talking about all those calls backfiring on Doug Peterson and how he made some really poor decisions in that game. But I give him a lot of credit because he didn't do the easy thing. He went the unconventional route, and it paid big, big dividends.
All right, Daryl, what do we think Nick Foles is worth right now? And should the Browns be going after him?
Well, I mean, I tweeted this mostly in jest after the Super Bowl. I said that John Dorsey should be picking up the phone first thing Monday morning and see if Howie Roseman is still hung over enough to either trade him Nick Foles or Carson Wentz, try and take advantage of the situation there. But I mean, sure. Do I think that Nick Foles is like a franchise saving caliber quarterback? No, I mean, he is. But the guy completed over 70% of his passes in 3 playoff games. That's absolutely incredible. I don't think I can remember a quarterback completing 70% of his passes over 3 playoff games. So he got hot at the right time, and you give him a tremendous amount of credit. Listen, I think Nick Foles could be a guy that could be your bridge quarterback. You know, if you still intend on taking that quarterback with the first pick in the draft, sure. You have 3 second-round picks to play with here, one of which is from Philadelphia. You know, maybe call Howie and say, hey, you want 64 back?
Exactly, Daryl. I think that's the perfect trade for the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, so it's worth exploring. And listen, I think that John Dorsey's going to turn over every rock here as we go through this process over the next 2-3 months leading up to the draft. As far as getting a veteran quarterback in here, there's no question they're going to go ahead and try and do that. Obviously, free agency is an option, and as I said, would not be the worst thing in the world that they pick up a phone and call the Eagles just to explore it. But if you're Philadelphia right now, you're standing pat because you got to make sure that Carson Wentz is coming back 100% healthy. Still, there's no guarantee there, even though there's a high probability of it, but there's no guarantee. And the fact that you had Nick Foles waiting in the wings is what helped you win that Super Bowl. So I don't know necessarily from Philadelphia's perspective that Howie Roseman's going to be very quick in wanting to part with Foles.
The Browns have added another member of the Packer Empire to to the draft plans. What do you think?
I like it. You know, it's where the Cleveland is becoming Green Bay Southeast, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with it because you look at what the Green Bay Packers are. And if there's ever an organizational tree that you want to poach from, it's definitely, certainly Green Bay is up there. I like adding Scott McLuhan. He was part of a couple of helping putting Super Bowl both in San Francisco as well as Seattle. He's got an established resume. He's a consultant, so he doesn't have necessarily a specific defined role within the organization. But listen, I feel better about this front office today than I did on December 7th at about 10 a.m. when it was announced that Sashi Brown was no longer going to be in charge of the football operations. And I feel better about it today, guys, than I did when Sashi Brown was in charge of the football operations. That's not me taking a cheap shot at Sashi. It's just I feel more comfortable with guys that have established, credible NFL resumes of finding, evaluating, putting in place top-tier talent that has had success at the highest levels of the sport. And what John Dorsey has been able to do as far as bringing in both Alonzo Highsmith, Elliot Wolf, keeping Andrew Berry, I love that move. Bringing in McLuhan, I think that Dorsey has off to a phenomenal start as a general manager. Now let's see if they can get some players.
Yeah, there is that, right?
All right, let's assume they don't bring in a free agent quarterback. How do 1-4 lay out? Like, what's your priority by position?
Well, priority number one is quarterback. You got four or five guys. You got to pick one. And obviously, we're assuming that they don't back up the Brinks truck and throw bags and bags of cash at Kirk Cousins. Because I think if that happens, then quarterback at one completely goes off the board. Cornerback is a priority. Saquon Barkley is someone that obviously is worth taking a look at with either of those picks. I don't know necessarily at number one, but hey, you never know. Wide receiver, I think, is something they need to address maybe in the second round of the draft. You got to look at left tackle. Because whether or not Joe Thomas comes back does not matter. You still have to address that position because if he comes back, it's probably his last year. Defensively, I think that they could use another linebacker. They certainly need another safety. I mentioned corner already as a priority. Maybe even another defensive tackle that you think about. So they need talent everywhere, guys. They need a football team. They went 0-16 last year. They're 1-31, 4-44. So to me, best player available, but certainly quarterback is priority number one this offseason, draft as well as free agency.
Daryl, did the Super Bowl change your thought or make you think anything differently about how to acquire that quarterback? You have Nick Foles, who was a third-round pick who has knocked around the league. Tom Brady, obviously, the aberration, is a sixth-round pick who becomes a Hall of Famer. Did it change your thinking about what you should do here this offseason if you're the Browns?
Well, here's the thing that you have to think about, Jeff. And while it's fair to bring up the fact that Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick, Nick Foles, third-round pick, Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. When you're talking about taking quarterbacks in the third round, Colt McCoy even comes to mind, okay? Those are shots in the dark. When you're taking a quarterback from rounds three all the way through the back end of the draft, you're just taking a shot and throwing something on the wall, and if it sticks, great, you hit the jackpot. If it doesn't stick, well, it's a third-round pick. You move on. And so when you're a team that absolutely needs to hit on that position, Jeff, I don't think that that's the approach you can take. Now, if you go out and you sign Kirk Cousins this offseason, all right, let's just say for the sake of this point of the discussion here that that happens, all right? Then yes, you can take a, you can go the exploratory route, as I like to call it, with quarterbacks later in the draft. But right now, where the Cleveland Browns are standing, they need to pick the best quarterback that they believe out of this draft class and use the first pick in the draft on them. And then when it comes to free agency, sign somebody that can hold the fort down until the number one pick in the draft is ready to be put on the football field, preferably in 2019 or later.
You think DeShone Kizer is on this team next year?
It's a great question. I think that it would behoove the Browns certainly maybe to try explore moving him. I don't know necessarily what value DeShone Kizer has. And so that's a little bit of a problem. You run into an issue where you basically give him away. I think that the guy that won't be on this team next year is Cody Kessler. I don't think you have room for him. I think you're bringing in two quarterbacks, a veteran plus a draft pick. So DeShone Kizer, in my opinion, becomes quarterback two. I'd have Kizer be the backup because I would go into the year with the goal of not wanting to play whichever of these quarterbacks I decide to draft at the top end.
All right, Daryl. Well, we got plenty of time to talk about what's going to happen here. So let's sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. But I do feel like you said early on that I feel more confident in the Browns front office right now. They've added some guys that really have a history in the league that you can, I don't know, just that alone. And I think, Daryl, when we talk to other people that are national and I always say, what's your perception of the Browns? They all feel like this thing's going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, the reviews that the Cleveland Browns are getting right now as far as the restructuring of this front office are all positive. There's nothing negative to say about what the Cleveland Browns have done from the end of December to this point. It is all extremely positive, but we've been down this road before where it's been this way, where you feel good about who's been hired and who's been brought in. It comes down, as it always does, to finding the players and then those players performing. And that is where the Cleveland Browns consistently fall short. They either don't find the players, or when they do find the players, those players underperform. So that's where they are right now. It's all positive. Things are looking up. The arrow is turning up. But after 0-16, the arrow can't be down anymore. There's only one way to go, and that's up. But there's a lot of things that John Dorsey and this personnel department need to address this offseason. They're going to have to make some tough decisions. They really are. From a strategic standpoint, they're going to have to make some very difficult decisions. But I feel better about where this organization is today than I did, like I said, about 6 weeks ago.
All right, Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. Thank you very much. We'll read your stuff at 923thefan.com. Thanks, D.
Thanks, Daryl.
You got it, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.